went to one of my doctors and I told them about the headache because I knew at that point it was already longer than any headache I had had. And they said, based on where I told them the headache was, which was at that point behind my ear and up behind my eye, they said they thought it might be a pinched nerve. The second that the ibuprofen would wear off, it would come back. So I reached back out 4 or 5 days later and I said, it's still there and it's pressure in between my eyes. And they had mentioned at the doctor's appointment before that, that it might be a sinus infection or something. And so I reached out to them and they put me on an antibiotic at that point, thinking that maybe it was a sinus infection. So at that point I was on an antibiotic for about a week. I'd had migraines before as well, and migraines come with some weird side effects. So we kind of thought, okay, maybe this is a side effect of migraine. And so we kind of talked ourselves out of it being something further than that. And then I had been telling my parents the whole time, they live a couple hours away. I'd been telling them the whole time about this headache too. So everybody in my family knew that this had been going on as well. I also went to the Taylor Swift concert in this period of time. So, I mean, I was living my life while it was going on, and I just was taking so much, like I said, over-the-counter medication to deal with it. They still had me explain to every single nurse there what was wrong, and I was just telling them, I can't feel my left side. I woke up this morning and I can't really see straight and I can't think straight and I can't feel my left side. And they were having me repeat it over and over and over again. I just remember it being so extremely frustrating. I also remember at one point my arm sitting on my lap and it started slipping off my lap, and I went to go catch it because I thought it was my phone slipping off my lap and it was my own arm. So that was kind of the moment that I realized how numb my arm actually was, because I thought it was not a part of my body.
Hello, Mark Goodyear here. Welcome to Stroke Stories, the podcast that seeks out and hears from stroke survivors. In this episode, we'll hear from Kelly Tinsley from Greenville, South Carolina. Kelly was 28 when she suffered her stroke.
Before the stroke, I was super outgoing and I had animals and I'm super close with my family and I had a big group of friends and I liked going out to dinner and I was big into hosting people at my house and having people come over, and I really liked cooking for others, and I just kind of liked to be the life of the party before the stroke. So about a month before the stroke, I started having a pretty consistent headache. I've always been a person that had headaches, but this one was different. I have always had headaches where they have been there for about a day or so at max, but when I go to sleep and wake up the next day, it's been gone. And this one, I would go to sleep and wake up the next morning and it would be back. And so I was to the point where I was taking ibuprofen and acetaminophen, and the second the medicine would wear off, it would be back. And so that was going on for about a month or so. So I went, after about a week, I went to one of my doctors and I told them about the headache because I knew at that point it was already longer than any headache I had had. And they said, based on where I told them the headache was, which was at that point behind my ear and up behind my eye, they said they thought it might be a pinched nerve. And so they put me on a steroid for it at that point. And they said to let them know if it persisted. So the steroid seemed to help a little bit, but it was there the second that the secondary medications I was taking would wear off. And so the second that the ibuprofen would wear off, it would come back. So I reached back out 4 or 5 days later and I said, it's still there and it's pressure in between my eyes. And they had mentioned at the doctor's appointment before that, that it might be a sinus infection or something. And so I reached out to them and they put me on an antibiotic at that point, thinking that maybe it was a sinus infection. So at that point I was on an antibiotic for about a week. I also reached out to my OBGYN and asked her if she thought that maybe it was the birth control I was on that was causing the headache, because I knew that was a side effect for some birth control medications. And she kind of shooed me away on that idea and said she didn't think that that could be what was causing it, because I had already been on it for a couple of months. So I definitely was trying my best to get answers for it, and I wasn't really getting answers from the doctors. A couple of days before the stroke, I said to my boyfriend that my hands were feeling a bit funny. They were feeling kind of numb, but I'd had migraines before as well, and migraines come with some weird side effects. So we kind of thought, okay, maybe this is a side effect of migraine. And so we kind of talked ourselves out of it being something further than that. And then I had been telling my parents the whole time. They live a couple hours away. I'd been telling them the whole time about this headache too. So everybody in my family knew that this had been going on as well. I also went to the Taylor Swift concert in this period of time. So, I mean, I was living my life while it was going on, and I just was taking so much, like I said, over-the-counter medication to deal with it. But the night before is when it got the worst that it had gotten, and it just was like a debilitating migraine at that point. And I said to my boyfriend, like, it's 8 p.m. I'm going to bed. Like, I'm turning all the lights off. And I got in the bed, and he ended up sleeping in the other room just to make it so I could go to sleep as early as I wanted to. I ended up getting up a few times in the middle of the night to be sick. And the next morning is when I woke up. And I think at that point, I was probably already having the stroke. My left side, I completely couldn't feel it. And to be honest, I kind of thought that I had just slept funny on it because I had slept really hard and fallen asleep really early the night before. And so, because I had fallen asleep so early, I woke up really early. And so, I was a little bit out of sorts because of the time I had gone to sleep and how early it was in the morning. And I was kind of making excuses for all of it. And I could not feel my leg or my arm on my left side. And I was, to be honest, like trying to talk myself out of thinking like this is a bigger deal than it is. So I tried to go back to sleep, and my body wouldn't let me, which makes sense. And I think I tried to call out a few times because, like I said, my boyfriend was in the other room. I tried to call out a few times, but my voice like wouldn't project the way I wanted it to. And then at that point, I tried to get my phone out. My mom is an early riser, so I tried to get my phone out to call her. I don't know why I didn't try to call my boyfriend, but I tried to call my mom, and I could not see the screen of my phone. And I was like making all of this make sense in a way that I was just too tired to be able to see it. So I had Siri call my mom and text her. I called her once. She didn't answer. I had Siri text her and say, I think I need to go to the hospital. This headache is really, really bad. And then I called her again and she answered that time. And my mom was like, what is going on? And I said, I think I need to go to the hospital. Like, I can't, I don't feel right. And I was trying to not freak anybody else out. So I don't know that I told her I couldn't feel my left side. And for some reason, like I didn't realize with a stroke, you're not exactly making your best decisions. So I tried to get up and walk to the bathroom at one point. I was dropping my phone and dropping my water bottle, and my mom was telling me to sit down. And instead of trying to go get my boyfriend, I was walking to the bathroom to look at myself in the mirror to see if I could see that my face was drooping or anything like that. And I think a part of me knew I was having a stroke. But I really didn't want to cry wolf or freak anybody else out. And the only reason I knew the signs of a stroke was because I had been to England in 2018, and I had seen a PSA that England put out of this football fan at a football match having the signs, the be fast signs at a football match. And I remembered seeing the droopy face and seeing the slurred speech and the arm and everything like that. And my family and I had kind of like picked fun at that ad, which I guess is why they do silly ads like that, is so that you remember them. And that is the only reason I knew the signs of a stroke. But still, I wasn't telling anybody that that's what I thought was happening. Eventually, my mom calls my boyfriend multiple times to wake him up in the other room because I still couldn't bring myself to go in the other room and wake him up. And he comes in, and he ends up driving me to the emergency room. He was adamant about taking me, even though my mom and I didn't think it was necessary for me to go. My mom thought to just take me to the regular doctor. And I was saying I didn't need to go anywhere because in my head, I knew I was having a stroke. And the logic at the time was if he takes me there, I'm going to die. And I don't know why that was what I was thinking. It just was what I was thinking. So, he ends up taking me to the emergency room, and we didn't tell them that I was having a stroke at the front desk, which is what you're supposed to do. So they had us sit and wait for our turn. And they ended up giving me a stroke test once I went back. And they had me tell them the story of what was wrong with me 3 or 4 times. My speech was so slurred, and I was struggling to talk and communicate with them. And they still had me explain to every single nurse there what was wrong. And I was just telling them, I can't feel my left side. I woke up this morning and I can't really see straight, and I can't think straight, and I can't feel my left side. And they were having me repeat it over and over and over again. And I just remember it being so extremely frustrating. I also remember at one point my arm sitting on my lap and it started slipping off my lap. And I went to go catch it because I thought it was my phone slipping off my lap and it was my own arm. So that was kind of the moment that I realized how numb my arm actually was because I thought it was not a part of my body.
They gave Kelly a CT scan.
They had a neurologist come back and talk to me, and he said that they saw some clotting in the CT. And he said to me, this could be a multitude of things. He actually said, if this is a clotting disorder, you might have trouble conceiving children, which is not a bit of information that I think was necessary to tell me at the time. I don't think it was relevant. I still don't think it's relevant. And it was a bit traumatizing to hear for me, I believe. I stand by that still. But I ended up staying in the emergency room at when we left the house, my mom was on the way. They live 2 hours away. When we got to the emergency room, my dad and my stepmom were on the way. I ended up sitting there for a while, and the headache was just getting worse and worse. They ended up giving me some stronger pain medication. And I ended up having a grand mal seizure while I was sitting there. So, what happened at that point was my body went into this state called post-ictal state, which means when you're after a seizure, you went go into this fight or flight mode. And my body chose to fight. So I was fighting all of the nurses and doctors in the hospital, and I didn't know where I was at that point. And this was on a Tuesday, and I basically don't remember anything until the Thursday. I was told that at that point, we stayed at that emergency room for a couple of hours, and then I was transported to another local hospital with a better neuro ICU where they were able to, my sister-in-law's father, who is a retired surgeon, was actually able to get in contact with a local surgeon that does thrombectomies. And I was actually a good candidate for a thrombectomy, which is when they go up through your groin and they remove part of the blood clot that way. So I had a very large blood clot in my brain that went pretty much from the base of my skull in the back up almost to the frontal lobe, like a mohawk. And they went up through my groin and got about 90% of it that night. So the same day as the stroke. And I was intubated that night and kept on a breathing machine for 2 days. So when I woke up on the Thursday, I had 8 or 9 of my family members there at a new hospital who had traveled in from Boston and Chicago down to South Carolina just to be with me at the hospital, which was really lovely. And yeah, I was in the hospital for 6 nights. Neuro ICU was 5 nights. And then I was in a regular room for 1 night at that point. And then I was sent home.
Coming up.
It hit me in the form of I just was not feeling like eating anything at all. And so what I was eating was not the most nutritional thing. It was just trying to get some form of calories in my body. And then, with seeing all of these specialists, they told me I needed to find like a primary care physician to be able to help me juggle my specialists all at the same time. And when I started seeing one of those, he did some labs on me and we found out that I was vitamin deficient. This is not something that is supposed to happen to someone my age. And that's okay. Like, it's life is unfair. And because life is unfair, I am allowed to have bad days. That is kind of the way I've chosen to look at it. The way that I find joy is when I hear of other people that are struggling with things, like I don't know anybody else that's had a stroke, but I do know other people that have had to go into the hospital or are having a hard time mental health-wise. Like I am much better at relating to those people now and helping.
As part of her recovery, Kelly spent some time in hospital.
So part of my recovery is when I was in the hospital, they had a feeding tube in me. So once they took that out, I had some issues with eating and getting enough calories in me to be able to sustain a good enough weight. So I really struggled with appetite issues and getting enough calories per day. So that was difficult. I also was in a state of shock for about 3 weeks after the stroke. When we were in the hospital, they actually didn't say that it was a stroke at all until about three-fourths of my way through the stay. They kept just saying that it was a blood clot. We had to actually ask them. So that was another part of the problem. It was just kind of, we didn't have a ton of information. We kind of had to ask them, like, was this a stroke? And they were like, oh, yes. So once we had the information that we needed, we were able to do a lot more research. When I left, I had to go to a lot of different specialists. I had to go to a neurologist as an outpatient, and then I had to go to a hematologist. So that was a lot of adjustment for me afterwards. I also had really bad headaches for about a month straight afterwards, and we really struggled getting the right doctor on the phone, to be able to get medication sent over to me because you work with hospitalists when you're in the hospital. It's just a struggle to be able to get the correct doctor to send you a new prescription. So I was used to not being on medication at all, except for being on ADHD medication before this all happened. And then going to the hospital and having this happen to me, I was put on 8 or 9 daily medications that I was taking 2 to 3 times a day. And so it wasn't just dealing with the post-stroke side effects of physical issues and fatigue and shock and all of these things, but it was also not knowing whether the side effects were from the stroke or side effects were from medication that I was taking at these high dosages or from the ADHD I've had my entire life and been medicated for. And right now I'm not able to take the medication for that. So that was another part that we were juggling and not knowing what was coming from what. I was having memory issues and I was told that we weren't sure how long that was going to last. The part of my brain where the stroke hit was on the right side of my brain, kind of center above my ear, and we asked them what part of the brain that was, like what was held there. And they said they weren't really sure, which we weren't really expecting that answer. So it was kind of a game of figuring out, like, is there anything important held there in the brain, or is it just memories or anything like that? Because the right side of the brain is mostly like your creative side and not really any of your like physical skills. It's the side of the brain that there's a lot more mystery to it. So I did have to go to PT, physical therapy, for 2 months. And mostly we had to focus on balance and my symmetry. That was hard mentally on me because I didn't really notice as big of a difference from my left side to my right side once we were out of the hospital until I started going to physical therapy. And then it really highlighted for me like how different those two sides really were. And I started noticing how tired and fatigued I actually was when they were pushing me to my limits. So that was a struggle for me as well. I also started losing weight pretty heavily. Once the shock had worn off for me, I hit a pretty deep divot in my mental health. And it hit me in the form of I just was not feeling like eating anything at all. And so what I was eating was not the most nutritional thing. It was just trying to get some form of calories in my body. And then with seeing all of these specialists, they told me I needed to find like a primary care physician to be able to help me juggle my specialists all at the same time. And when I started seeing one of those, he did some labs on me and we found out that I was vitamin deficient in a lot of different vitamins because of all the stuff I had been through. So I was iron deficient as well. So we had to start doing iron infusions every 2 weeks. And I was going and getting B12 shots every week. And he had me on a lot of super high supplements that I was taking every day. So that was an interesting thing to juggle as well. It's just a lot of things that came with the stroke that, I mean, I wasn't prepared for any of it, but I think a lot of people hear about a stroke and they think that it's all just the stroke you're struggling with, and it's not like this huge medical journey that you're going to go on at the same time.
And Kelly is still working on her mental and emotional well-being.
Physically, yes, I'm feeling much better. I still deal with a little bit of fatigue. The fatigue was the major issue I dealt with during it. We would think that I was feeling better, and then we would go out for running like an errand or something. And I would all of a sudden hit a wall. And if we didn't get home immediately or get out to the car immediately, I would pretty much have like a mental breakdown. And we were told by my doctors, like, you pretty much have to push your limits to build stamina. And we wouldn't know my limits until we would push them. So we had to repeatedly do this. Like, we would try basically once a week to, like, let's go out in public and try to do this task. And if we fail, it's okay. We'll try again next week. And we basically had to do this over and over again and continue to fail until there was success eventually. And so that was something that was pretty mentally draining for us in terms of going out and knowing that I might have a little bit of a breakdown, but that it was okay. I'm still working on it mentally. Nowadays, I'm seeing a therapist, and it's definitely still a work in progress. I'm not even a year removed from the stroke, so I'm working on not being my own worst enemy. I think when I was put on antidepressants in the hospital, they were very wonderful in being proactive with doing that. So they put me on them pretty much the first day I was able to approve them putting me on them. And I was able to say, like, yes, please do this, because they do take a few weeks to kick in. But the day that I said, yes, do it, I think I was thinking it was going to be 3 or 4 months of it until I was able to wrap my head around the fact that I was 28 and had had a stroke. So I think I've been my own worst enemy in thinking that it was a short-term thing for me. And the fact that I'm almost a year removed and we're still actively having bad days is something that I'm having to accept. And it's not the end of the world. Like, it's okay. I'm going to have bad days. This is not something that is supposed to happen to someone my age. And that's okay. Like, life is unfair. And because life is unfair, I'm allowed to have bad days. That is kind of the way I've chosen to look at it. The way that I find joy is when I hear of other people that are struggling with things. Like, I don't know anybody else that's had a stroke, but I do know other people that have had to go into the hospital or are having a hard time mental health-wise. Like, I am much better at relating to those people now and helping. And that is how I've found the most joy, is being able to very specifically relate to those people. Unfortunately, I know people that have been intubated since I have been intubated. And so I've been able to be a voice for those people, to their families, and say, like, they can hear you while they are intubated, and they are able to hear you. So please go in there and speak to them and be there for them. And I know people that are in, like, if they're in the hospital, you can take them a pillow and a blanket, and being cozy is so much better than feeling like you're in this sterile environment and things like that. Like, giving myself a purpose, like, that's been the way that I have found the most joy day to day. And I think that's just the way that I'm kind of carrying myself through this until days get a lot better for me.
A large blood clot in her brain meant that Kelly suffered a significant stroke. She's made a strong physical recovery, but is open about her challenges with her mental health as a result of suffering the stroke. Thank you for listening to Stroke Stories. Please do recommend it to anybody who you think the podcast might help. And if you have time, please comment and rate on the episodes you hear to help us spread the word. And if you are, or you know of, a stroke survivor, and there's a story you can share, please get in touch via X or Instagram, where our DMs are always open. The Stroke Stories podcast was produced by Aidan Judd. I'm Mark Goodyear. Thank you for listening.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.